Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is season 4, episode 17 for December, what is it, 19th? Wow, December 19th, it's almost Christmas time, 2017. On tonight's panel, we have Killer Frog Emeritus Wes Phelan. Wes, did you jump out of a perfectly good airplane yesterday?
You know, I was there ready to do it, but the clouds just wouldn't cooperate. So I'm not sure if I'm heartbroken about it, but I was ready to do it. So no, I didn't.
For those who weren't following on the forum, Wes's wife bought a skydiving package for his birthday. So that's going to be a lot of fun when you finally get
trying
up there.
Trying to get rid of him.
Yeah, exactly. She asked me where the insurance policy was before I got, you know. So,
did you bury it in a cigar box somewhere out in your backyard?
Yeah. Good luck finding it.
And that's recruiting expert Hunter Nix. Hey, Hunter, how you doing?
What's going on, guys?
How much? Did you make it through finals week?
Yeah, done. So glad to be done.
Straight A's?
Hope so. Still waiting on grades, but let's hope.
Slackered.
I know.
I had all my finals graded a couple hours after they were done. So, and I don't have any TAs, so they got to get on the ball.
That's right.
We have TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. Hey, Dubber.
How y'all doing today?
Doing great. Got all my Christmas shopping done. How about you?
Well, I wait till the very end.
Are you the kind of guy who goes out on Christmas Eve and buys all those gifts?
Well, maybe not quite Christmas Eve, but pretty close. The wife's pretty good. She buys most of it. Then I just go fill in at the end.
That's a good plan.
Hey, Dubber, don't spend more than $300 or $400 on me, okay?
Okay.
We all know what Wes wants. He wants a pair of boots. That's what he wants.
Pretty much, yeah.
And we also have the boss, Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
You had a fantastic Christmas party yesterday.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
That was great. You have a lovely home. And I love those hand-drawn horn frog pictures that you have up in your quote-unquote trophy room. That was really nice.
Yeah. Thank you. Those are really neat. I always call her the horn frog lady. I should probably learn her real name. That way I could give her a little plug. But she's always at the rodeo and then the state fair with the frog man.
I've seen them, and I bought one of the prints of the horn frog in front of the Alamo last time.
Exactly.
I was there.
She has a pool and all kinds of different drawings. They're really nice.
Yeah, I love it because you had one with the horn frog with a rose in the mouth and a peach and Big 12 flag. I mean, everything that you could think of, and they're all beautifully framed. So I'll have Ryan send me the actual name of the artist, and we'll get some pictures up on the show notes. How about that?
Exactly.
That'll work for y'all who want to see it, because they're fantastic prints. Well, this is our bowl preview, but before we get to the Alamo Bowl and Stanford, we want to talk a little bit about some of the news since we were last on. If everybody remembered, Chris Del Conte last Saturday left us for browner pastures. And has been replaced now by Jeremiah Donati, and he is now the new athletic director of the TCU Horned Frogs. And guys, what do you think about this hire?
I'm excited. I've coined him hashtag ADJD because it just has a good ring to it.
You got to have nicknames for everybody, don't you?
We do, absolutely. And as soon as I heard that Del Conte was leaving, of course, my heart, I felt like I'd just been broken up with, you know, that feeling you get. And then immediately I started thinking, oh my goodness, who are they going to bring in? I just thought immediately, I do not want somebody from the outside coming in. I want somebody who knows TCU. And I immediately sent Jeremiah an email and said, I hope you've been shortlisted, you know, for the next AD position. And then, you know, less than 24 hours later, it leaked and he obviously got the position. I cannot be happier. He's a great guy. We're in good hands.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. I've met him a couple of times, spoken with him. I was a little shocked, O'Connor. I mean, not if somebody weighed $1.3 million in front of me and said, come to work for us, I could work for the Aggies for that kind of money. But you know what? As far as career enhancement goes, I don't blame Del Conte at all. He left us he left us in better shape than it was when he came here. He did a great job. Everybody loves the guy. Texas is going to love him. Whether or not he loves Texas or not, it remains to be seen. But he's a good guy, and Texas in good hands. But, you know, there's fans and those alumni down there a little more demanding than our guys are. So we'll see if he's up to the challenge.
Yeah, I think Jeremiah's going to fit in just fine. I think this was a really good hire. I think it's one of those that they want to have a continuity, obviously, from what Del Conte already started to what they already have. And he already started off on his press conference saying, you know, one of the most important things for him is to listen to the coaches and to deliver what the coaches want, which is one of the big reasons why Del Conte was so successful here. So he continues doing that. I don't see this as just more than just a small little hiccup when it comes to athletics here.
Well, that's a good thing. If you remember Del Conte in his introductory press conference when he came to TCU, said, and I quote, he said, "I wanted to be the wind beneath the coach's wings." And he was all that and more. Those coaches, he had their back, and he took care of them. And if Donati follows the same pathway that Del Conte laid out for him, we'll be in great shape, no doubt about it. But, you know, he's got to be the wind beneath these coaches' wings. And I think he will be. I think he's a good guy.
I agree. Dubber, how about you? How do you feel about Donati as AD?
Oh, I'm fired up about it. I think we have veteran coaches here. I don't think we're really looking to turn over that type of stuff. It was just a case where, you know, I mean, Del Conte went and got another job. And so, you know, as far as all the, you know, the projects and this and that, he knows what's going on. He knows the internal workings of TCU. He knows, you know, I mean, I just think it's a feel-good deal for some coaches and stuff like that are veteran coaches that are kind of been here a while and they're kind of set in their ways. And so I don't think he wants to rock the boat at all. And so
if he's smart, he won't.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? He's in a great position. All he has to do is not screw things up.
That's right. He just has to steer the ship. You know what? And hopefully, you know, as he gets on and he gets more comfortable, he'll put his own personal touches to it.
Sure.
You know, but as far as the main, you know, portion of it or part of it, I think that's why I think that's why they did it so quick. I think that's why they, didn't hesitate. And they went and talked to those coaches and said, "Hey, this is what we're going to do right here, blah, blah, blah." Is everybody on board? And everybody was – I think everybody's on board. I mean, I think it made everybody feel better. I think it made all the coaches feel better.
Yeah.
I think that made the – you know, I just think, you know, they were grooming him to do that job one of these days and not here somewhere else. So, you know, I look at it as a good thing.
I think it is. And I kind of – you know, for a moment there, I thought – they're going to hire Danny Morrison back. Now, his name was never mentioned by anybody, but, you know, he's an experienced AD who did a good job here. And right now, as far as I know, he's not working anywhere because he resigned his Carolina Panthers position. So, and I think he expressed the desire to go back into colleges after he resigned. So I thought just for a moment, they're going to bring Danny back, but they didn't. It was never mentioned. And you know, that's probably a good thing. Danny's a good guy, but, Jeremiah's more he had a big hand in raising money for a lot of the projects here, and he's certainly stepping in and doing raising money for the East Side. So I think it's a good seamless transition, as it should be.
Yeah, I think a lot of Frog fans don't quite realize how hands-on he's been, especially with fundraising.
Yeah.
We all kind of look at CDC as being the guy who walked in the room and everybody just got out their wallets, but – obviously takes a lot more than just that. And he was an integral part for a lot of that fundraising. So, you know, in that regard, we don't really lose any continuity there, and that's good. As long as he can kind of step up his charisma game a little bit like CDC, I think we'll be fine. Hunter, any word from recruits on the change in AD?
No, I mean, really, we've got the coaches in place, and that's really what recruits worry about. Yeah, at this point, I don't think it's going to affect recruiting at all.
Yeah, we got a couple of recruits came and visit, and we can talk about that a little bit later on. But unless anybody wants to say anything else, we just want to congratulate and welcome Jeremiah Donati as the new athletic director at TCU. Hopefully, we'll have him on the podcast here in a future episode. But we'll move on to
Say one thing real quickly. I went to the Texas site, Shaggy Bevo, or Shaggy Texas, when Del Conte was hired, and a couple of those fans had their noses up in the air talking about, well, why is this such a home run hire? And I just couldn't resist it. I said, wait till you meet him. In 5 minutes with him, you're going to feel like you've known him all your life, and you're going to be digging through your checkbook. That's why he's a home run hire, and everybody's going to be doing the same thing.
Have you been banned yet from Shaggy?
Beg pardon?
Have you been banned yet from Shaggy?
Oh, no, but I'm working towards it.
Okay.
I'd like to add something really quickly. If you don't know that much about Jeremiah, go to TCU and look up his bio, because he's been at TCU for quite a while. Time flies, but he came here with a pretty good, an excellent resume. And he started, I don't know his full story of where he started when he got here, but it was over in the Frog Club from what I remember. And he was the first person my mom and I sat down with to help us go online and pick our football tickets. And if you read his resume, he came here with a really good resume, and he's sitting there helping my mom and me pick out our season tickets online, because that was kind of a new deal for everybody, and we were nervous because we were timed, and you know how the whole thing is. But I that was my first impression of him. My second impression was when I called up to the Frog Club, he'd answer the phone and always help. You could always tell he was smiling on the other end. So just get to know him. And another thing, too, is he's not as young as everybody thinks he is. He's got a baby face, but he's my generation, 40, 40-ish. And I think that'll be good for the next generations coming up. I think it's kind of nice to have Sean.
I have no sympathy for 40-ish. Come on.
It's good to have some representation.
Our generation's taking over.
Yeah, we might want to make some headway as quickly as possible, because our generation is fairly small compared to the two on the either side of us. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
So good luck, Jeremiah. If you're out there listening, we're rooting for you, and we're happy to have you.
Yeah, Dubber and West don't want to talk about it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's welcome, congratulations to Jeremiah Donati. We're looking for great things out of him, and it is going to be special moving forward. But let's move on to basketball. And Ryan, you've got a couple of quick announcements for basketball. What are they?
Men's, actually, this is Monday night, and they're playing as we speak. They've probably been playing for about 20 minutes. I'm sure Rima's there watching them, rooting them on, and she'll give me heck for not being there tonight to watch them. But they are.
You've had other obligations.
Yeah, exactly. They are 10-0, hoping to go 11-0, which is the longest winning streak so far. I think, Deborah, you know a little bit more about the winning streak. Women's basketball is home on Wednesday, so I will actually be at that one. That game starts at 6:30, so that's an early night. You can actually go to the game and get home and still go to bed at a normal time. And they're 8-2, so they're having a fabulous season. Their only losses were to Yale at home and then A&M on the road, so... Good job, women's basketball.
Yeah, now it's 16-14 against the winless Texas Southern Tigers. So,
I have a question: has Alex Robinson been hurt? He hasn't seem to play as much lately.
I'm sorry, Wes, I didn't hear that. What was that again?
Is Alex Robinson hurt?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I'd be lying.
Because I'm looking at the stats right now, and they're up 20-16 with 9:33 left in the first half. And he has got one rebound and two assists, but he was not a starter. So I don't know, which is unusual. I would think,
Well, he played against Nevada, so
yeah,
and he's playing some tonight. I, as far as I know, he's not injured, or at least he's not, nothing that's keeping him off the court.
Yeah, well. Maybe Jalen Fisher's just outplaying him. I don't know.
Well, yeah, Dixon's that kind of coach. I mean, he's not. If somebody else behind you can play better, so
yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right. Well, basketball's off to a good start, but this is the bowl game preview show. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about San Antonio and the Alamo Bowl against Stanford, the trees.
Okay. So I did. I looked that up, actually. It drives me nuts. I always like to know the school colors and what their mascots are. So I looked it up, and apparently the tree is actually the band's mascot, and there is no official mascot for Stanford.
Is it part of their logo?
It is. It is a part of their logo, but officially Stanford does not have an official mascot. Now, they call their team the Cardinal, not for the bird, but for their school color, the vivid red. So their school colors are black, white, and red. They actually do have black for a school color, unlike TCU, even though.
But you have to take it back, because I remember them. I think, and Dover, you may as well. I think they used to be the Stanford Indians, or
some kind
of Native American.
They sure did.
Out in California, that's just, oh my God, you can't say something like that. So they became the Cardinal. And they just showed the trees as their logo. So
that is exactly right. They tried to have, they had many tries at voting in something new, and nobody could ever decide or agree on anything. So I think in 1981, they called their team Cardinal, and that's this history. And so they've semi-adopted the tree as their unofficial mascot for the university.
Yeah, speaking of logos and mascots, now, there's got to be I haven't read it, and this is way off the topic here, but University of California at Davis, I believe, is their mascot's the Banana Slugs.
Now, yeah. I'd
really like to know the backstory on that one.
I haven't seen that one on the ESPN mascot commercial yet. That's interesting.
Banana Slug.
The Banana Slugs. No, I'm not kidding either. That's true. The bourbon hasn't kicked in on me on that one. So that's really, they are the Banana Slugs.
You know, when I found out that we were playing Stanford, I got excited because I think of them as being a similar school fan base as TCU. We're most small, and fans are, we're all kind of tea sippers. I would think that they're tea sippers kind of like us. You know, they're not doing keg stands in the parking lots and stuff. Everybody's pretty under control at the tailgate. So I looked up their undergrad program. They have about 7,000. They are a little bit smaller than we are in their undergrad program. However, their total population in their school attendance is a little over 16,000. So a little bit bigger than we are. Their class of 2020 will have a little over 2,000 enrolled. Their admission rate is actually only 4.69%, which is the toughest out of every school, including Ivy League schools in the U.S. And Stanford, while many feel that they are an Ivy League school, they are not. They are not an official Ivy League school, but they are the most selective school in the U.S. at this point in time. And to go to Stanford without room and board, it's about like TCU, 46,000. With room and board, it's about 64,000. All in all,
64,000 a year.
Yeah, which is, you know, kind of the going rate these days.
Yeah, from private school.
Mm-hmm.
Year? Oh gosh.
Sean.
my daughter's like 5 years away from going to college, so I'm like,
yeah.
60,000, Ryan, when we were at TCU, would have gotten you 2 degrees.
Yeah.
A year total.
Hey, 2 degrees. When I went to TCU, it was $40 an hour.
Yeah,
and you are guaranteed that rate pretty much forever. I mean, I you know, if I graduated and came back for graduate work, I was guaranteed $40 an hour. That's I'm kind of dating myself, which is not hard to do, but $40.
So forever, Wes. So if I were to suddenly become Wes Phelan, I could go back to TCU for $40 an hour.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sure they
skydiving again. That is crazy. Yeah.
Before we jump into the offense and defense, I'll go over the schedule real quick for everybody traveling to the Alamo Bowl. The festivities start on Tuesday, and that starts with the pep rally, which is both schools, and they float down the river. It's awesome. We went a couple years ago, and it was raining and freezing, and it was still a lot of fun. So if you can get out of work and get down there on Tuesday, I highly suggest that you do that. Wednesday the 28th is the kickoff luncheon. I went to this last time. It's the neatest thing, one of the neatest things I've ever done. It had, you have both teams there, both dance teams, bands, cheerleaders, coaches, players, parents, everybody. It's super fun. And that's at lunchtime on Wednesday. And then there's a happy hour, a TCU happy hour. Yes, 5 o'clock that evening, probably sponsored by the alumni and Frog Club. And then on the 29th, we have a game day brunch, which is fun. So that everybody just comes and eats brunch. I'm sure Jeremiah will be there greeting everybody. And then at 5 o'clock is the TCU tailgate, which is always loads of fun. You need to register for that. I think it's about $50. Always done very, very, it's always very well done. And then that evening, obviously 8 o'clock is kickoff. So come to as many of those events as you can, because they are a lot of fun. And if you're not in the team hotel, come over there and hang out, because the players and coaches are always walking around. I can remember a couple years ago, we were going up to our room and Coach Cumbie was on the elevator and he's asking everybody what floor they were on. He was literally pushing the numbers to take us up to our rooms. And I thought, that's one of our best football coaches actually asking us what room, what number floor we're on. And I just thought, wow, that's pretty cool. All down to earth.
Coach Cumbie's a good guy.
Yeah, he's really sweet, all smiles. So
the offensive coordinator doesn't work out for him, he's got a career as a bellhop.
Yes, exactly.
And I'll tell you what, he knows his way around the Tom Thumb on Hewlin Street down there in Fort Worth too, because I used to run into him there all the time.
Aww.
And yeah, he knew where everything was. So obviously he does the shopping in the family.
Were you asking him where the oat bran was?
I did, yes. You know, I only eat healthy, Sean. I mean,
all right. So with that, I'll let y'all get to talking about the X's and O's.
Well, one quick addendum. You were talking about traveling. One thing Stanford does not travel, they don't travel very well. That's been one of the things a lot of people have talked about. And so, you know, this is an opportunity TCU fans need to show up in mass, but we already talked about this last week too. San Antonio is going to come out dressed in purple. They love supporting Texas schools, and anytime a Big 12 team is playing in their backyard, they support them. So it's going to be a wild atmosphere. Don't expect Stanford to have a home field advantage, even though they are the home team for this one. This is going to be purple all the way. So it's going to be a fun game. If you don't have your tickets yet, get them now. I don't know if TCU sold out of their allotment, but call the box office tomorrow if you get a chance, and they still have some there. Of course, you can always go through the third party avenue like StubHub and whatnot. But you know, if you can get it through TCU, that helps out TCU. So
you know, San Antonio is a sports crazy town. And you know, as you remember, a few years ago, the Cowboys used to go down there for part of their summer training. And they packed the stadium just for scrimmages and practices. Now, Jerry Jones, a little bit of a genius in being able to market and monetize that thing. But people there love sports, and they'll support TCU teams. And let me tell you, folks, they will be there in purple, just like they were a couple of years ago when we played Oregon. It was fun to watch. And those fans will take us under their wings, just like the people up in Omaha did the first time we went to the College World Series. It'll be fun to watch and be fun to be part of.
Well, speaking of San Antonio, did you guys hear the report that they're not going to change the curfew for the team, even considering what happened last time we were down there?
Well, Trevon's not the team, so why do it?
Yeah.
I just found it interesting that somebody thought that they were going to have to write a story about that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Must have been a slow news day.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention the site, but, yeah, you get the idea. All right. Well, let's get into this game, and let's start talking about the Cardinals, I guess. Is that Ryan? Am I saying that we can't call them trees, but I guess Cardinal is correct.
And I think it's Cardinal singular.
Cardinal.
I think it's the Cardinal.
So they're the Stanford Cardinal.
Yes.
Is that like the Lone Ranger? If there's more than one of them, it's still the Lone Ranger? Is that?
It's not the bird. It's just the color. It's strange.
That's, all right. Well, that's kind of a Brandon Fraser movie quip. Anyway, so let's start off with the Stanford Cardinal offense. And Hunter, take us through the offense, which I believe has a Heisman runner-up.
It does. And that's pretty much what you're going to hear about this offense. They run the ball, and then they run the ball some more, and then they run the ball some more after that. They are going to be probably the most pro-style offense we've seen this year. They like to turn around, hand it off about 30 times to Bryce Love. And Bryce Love is very good. So it's gonna be a good battle for us. I'm excited to see our bigs against theirs because they were probably the best rushing offense in the country this year. But, I mean, it all starts and ends with Bryce Love. You know, he had 1,973 yards on 237 attempts this year, 8.3 yards a carry. So pretty good average there, 164 yards a game, 17 TDs, and 10 of those touchdowns were from over 50 yards. So he breaks a lot of tackles, makes a lot of really long runs, a lot of over 20-yard runs. He's very explosive. One of those guys we're going to have to really, like, wrap up, gang tackle, because he's fast, he's physical, he's just a good running back.
How big is he, Hunter?
He's about 5'10", 195, 200 pounds. He's not the biggest guy, but he does have – I mean, he's got legit 4.3 speed, and he runs behind that big line and just kind of gets lost back there, and then next thing you know, he pops out, and he's 50 yards down the field.
Jeez, so stop him fast.
Yep, stop him fast.
Well, if he gets by you, he's gone.
Yeah, if he gets by us, he's gone.
He's got that speed.
He does, and he's been playing on a sprained ankle this whole season. He had a runner-up Heisman season on a sprained ankle.
Well, that's
so scary. He's had time to heal up and kind of, you know, get back totally healthy before this bowl game. So we're gonna have a challenge against us.
You think we'll have his best shot?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. This is big for him. You know, this is probably his last game before he goes pro. So I don't see him coming back for his senior year after breaking all Stanford's record. He's a running back. You know, I just see him leaving after this year. So it's probably his last game as Stanford Cardinal. I didn't know exactly what to call him there.
We just call him Tree. How about that? I don't like the trees.
You know, I don't know if he just – any of them really, I mean, all of them kind of stood out, really. Every game was over 150 yards, it seemed like.
So he's just consistent.
Yeah, he was consistent. I would say his probably best game was UCLA. That was one of them. But, I mean, he just had tons of really good games. That game was 30 carries for 263 and a touchdown.
Oh.
He's just a really good physical runner and – they give him the ball a lot. They give him a lot of chances. So it's gonna be fun.
Yeah. Wow.
How's their offensive line?
Their offensive line's good. I mean, they are very much a good running offense. Their O-line are great run blockers. They, you know, and they're not bad at pass blocking. They just don't have to do it as much. They're a big physical O-line. They play big football. You know, it kind of reminds me of TCU of old, of 5 years ago or so, before we started spreading everything out so much. They are very much disciplined, big, strong, physical up front.
What you're kind of describing is what we faced against Wisconsin, a huge offensive line.
Exactly.
Backs, but not necessarily that fast. Now, I don't think Wisconsin running backs ran a 4.43.
No, and that's the thing. This they've got a really good offense, a very powerful offense, but then Bryce Love has the speed to pretty much do whatever. So he had a 300-yard game. He only had one really bad game. Only one game under 100 yards. So.
Well, we hope we make it two here in a couple of weeks.
Yes, definitely.
Well, out of conference, what, they played Rice, San Diego State, and Notre Dame, right?
Yep, so Rice, San Diego State, and Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think all of those were over 100 yards. Obviously, I think the Rice and San Diego games were just big yardage, but, of course, it's Rice and San Diego State.
Yep.
Even though San Diego State beat them, I believe.
They did beat them.
And then you had Notre Dame, and I think Notre Dame was the only one of their out-of-conference games that kind of kept him close to 100 yards. It was 125. There you go.
So, yeah, really, he and then against Cal, he only had 14 carries, but he took him for over 100 yards, 101 yards. And that was his lowest other than the Washington State game where he had 16 for 69. But, I mean, everywhere else were big, big games. You know, 13 for 184 against San Diego State, 30 for 263 against UCLA, 25 for 301 against Arizona State. He's a really good running back. And that was all on a bum leg, on a high ankle sprain.
How's their passing attack?
It's not bad. They've actually gone through a couple quarterbacks this year. They pretty much – it's the redshirt freshman KJ Costello. He took over halfway through the year for the guy who had been starting, a senior. And, you know, he threw for 1,300 yards, about 60% completion, 11 TDs, two picks. So, you know, not any mind-blowing numbers, but he'll keep us honest just enough. Their best receivers, 42 catches, 720 yards, nothing mind-blowing. But, you know, those guys are going to be out on an island with our corners because you're putting everyone in for the run. Hmm.
Well, Wes, let's talk about the TCUD against this Stanford offense. How do you think our cornerbacks match up against their wide receivers, and how do you think our linebackers are going to do against Love?
Well, I think our linebacker, first of all, take cornerbacks. I think our cornerbacks are going to stand up against anybody. I mean, we've been pretty successful this year. Our cornerbacks, despite being short, match up pretty well. They're able to jump. They're fast enough. They cover well. You know, my gosh, I think we'll be okay. Defensively, you know, we only gave up 229 points this year, which is an improvement over last year. Rushing yardage, since Bryce Love is such a great running back. Last year, we gave up 2,441 yards. And this year, we gave up 1,298. So there's a significant improvement in the rushing defense. Passing yards, pretty much equal. We gave up 3,106 yards passing last year, 2,973. You know, it's not bad. It's an improvement. Total offense, we gave up 5,547 yards last year against 4,271 yards this year. So we have improved our defense quite a bit. You know, Gary Patterson's philosophy always is, and it's an old philosophy, defense wins championships. So he's always concentrated on the defense. And this defense has vastly improved over last year. I think our two interior guys, Ross Blacklock and then, I'm Bethley. Sorry. And my age have just gotten to me now.
Bethley.
Broadnax and Bradley, those two guys in the interior along with Blacklock have really stepped it up and have done a tremendous job in the inside. Ben Banigou, Matt Boson, my gosh, you know, Boson have 11 and a half sacks this year. Banigou wasn't too far behind him. Projected as a first-round draft choice, maybe a high second round. So our defensive ends are good. They're good on the edge. They're fast. They should be able to cover it. Linebackers are good. We have done a great job with our linebackers. Ty Summers has played like a champ. We've got the coverage. I think we'll be okay. Trevin Howard, you know, is just a monster back there. And then if they get past him, our safeties have played pretty good. Nico Small is healthy. Our other guys are playing pretty well. I think we'll do okay. I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, a running team will wear you down. And our guys are going to be up to the task. We've got to be able to make a lot of open field tackles on these people. But I think we'll do okay. But we are vastly improved on the defensive side over last year.
And I think Montrell Wilson is listed as questionable still for this game. So hopefully he can get healthy, because it'd be nice to have an extra guy to rotate in and out. Because like you said, this type of team will wear you down.
Yeah, if he's not, Sammy Douglas is. I mean, he's healthy and ready to go. And he's, you know, it's really sad, because I think Sammy Douglas is a good, fast linebacker and a good player. But, you know, when you got a guy like Trevin Howard, Montrell Wilson, and then Ty Summers, where do you stick Sammy Douglas? I mean, I hate to waste him on special teams, but he's got to get some playing time somewhere. And he's a good player. When Howard was down, Sammy Douglas stepped in and did a great job.
Well, it's going to be an interesting matchup, certainly on that side of the ball. And if we can wrap up Love and keep him around 100 yards or less than 100 yards, I think I really like our chances of winning this game.
Yeah,
and let's move on to the TCU offense. And we've got a couple of injury report updates. It looks like Anderson may be a game time decision for this game. So they're not saying he's in. They're not saying he's out. They're just going to say it's going to be game time. So that'll be interesting because if he gets to play, that changes the dynamic of the offense a little bit. Now, however, this is Hicks' last game as a Frog. And I can bet that Patterson wants Hicks to kind of go out on top, and he'll get a lot of touches in this game. If Cumbie actually dials up run plays, we didn't see that a lot in the championship game. We didn't get the run going, and they almost abandoned it all together in the second half. So hopefully that will change a little bit in this game, in the bowl game. Robinson is still questionable. I don't expect, unless we get up a ridiculous amount in the second half, I don't expect to see him play much unless they bring him in for one or two packages or just to kind of spell Hill for whatever reason. Song, sorry, Ryan, but I know his singing days are done at the moment, so he's out with an undisclosed injury at the moment, or as Landry said, a upper body, lower body, some kind of a body injury. We don't know. So I don't know what the kicking duties are going to be like for the TCU Horned Frogs as far as place kicking goes. But overall, the offense is healthy. The offensive line has gotten healthier. Hill is obviously ready to go. It's going to be the same kind of offense we've seen. The only difference is going to be, is this the offense that we saw against Oklahoma, both in Norman and in Arlington, where they can't seem to get things going and they kind of go away from the run and they start doing these little, you know, out patterns and wide receiver screens to try to get things going? Or is this going to be more of an attack style offense that we saw a lot of times throughout the year? And that's really going to depend on what Stanford's going to be able to give the TCU offense. And Dubber, talk to us a little bit about the Stanford defense.
Well, the Stanford defense, there are three playmakers. It's pretty balanced. They have a linebacker, Bobby. I don't know if I can pronounce his last name, though. Okereke. That's about as close as I'm getting. And then they have a big defensive tackle, Harrison Phillips, and a safety, Justin Reed. And they are like tackles-wise, one of them has 92, the other one has 89, the other one has 83, and then it jumps off all the way into about the 50s. So them are the three biggest playmakers they have right there. They've got a couple of kids that are a DB and a defensive end that's kind of like Anderson. It's I don't know if they're playing or not. You know, they're questionable. They've been giving up. I mean, you know, hey, hopefully we pull up the running game because, you know, they're giving up around 171 yards per game, and people are averaging about 4.6 yards average on them. And so, you know, they give it up about 228 through the air, you know. So, you know, I mean, I've actually watched them play two or three times. They like to try to get physical. They're smart. They don't make, you know, terrible mistakes. But I think athletically we match up to them really well, you know. And I think what they do compared to what we do, I feel good about it. Now, I will say something. They do have their punter. He kind of reminds me of our punter. He averaged about 45.2 yards. I mean, he's a good punter. You know, the kicker, he's 83% field goals this year, 100% on extra points.
You just got Mr. Roboto voice. Can you do that for us?
I'm going to blame net neutrality on that one.
We do not know what you said after something punter. About their punter, yeah. And then it went real wonky.
He got abducted by aliens.
Okay. So the punter, he's good. The field goal kicker, he's averaging about 83%, 100% on his extra points. The kickoff return specialist, their main guy averages about 26 yards average. And then their punt guys, there's two of them, actually have the same identical stats and about 7.8 yards per punt when they actually build it and run.
Yeah, special team-wise, I think TCU's got the edge in this game.
You know,
I'm going to assume you said I agree. What it sounded like. Dubber has entered the grid.
Apparently I have.
Yeah, there you are. So, yeah, no, I was saying special teams, it sounds, you know, for the most part, I think TCU's got the edge on special teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like our matchup. I like the matchup on both sides of the ball. I really do. When I heard the matchup, I was excited about it because I think Stanford's got a good name out there as football, but I also think it's a good matchup for us. You know, some bowl games you go into it, you don't get the best of matchups, but it's a good matchup for us, I think.
Yeah, this might actually be one of the more entertaining games of the bowl season.
Yep. Yep, it will be. I mean, I think it could be too, you know.
Well,
I hope we don't fall behind like we did last time with y'all at Alamo Bowl.
Well, yeah.
Have to have a furious comeback to win the game. I mean, I'd love it, but I hope it's a little more not as nerve-wracking.
Well, I think they'll try to play the Gary Patterson way. You know, I think they're going to want to run the football, long drives. If he breaks a long run, that's great. But if they can, you know, their best defense is their offense, just keeping them out there on the field, make long drives and keep us off the field offensively. And when they've done that, they've been successful. But when they haven't, I mean, you know, when they haven't, it's funny. I mean, they're very cut and dry. But they're not a great road team. I mean, they were 3-2. They lost three. They won two. But even the two they won, it wasn't against, I didn't think, the greatest of competition. And, I mean, they just barely pulled out an Oregon State game, and they barely pulled out, the other one.
Utah game, they won by 3 points.
Yeah, Utah. Those two games right there, you know. But still, it just seems like their numbers are a little bit different from – home game to out of town game.
Yeah, about the only real away game that they controlled from beginning to end was that Rice game. But you know, again, it was Rice, so
yeah,
you know, take that for what it is. But yeah, you're right. That Oregon State game, that was a 1 point win, and that Utah game was only 3 points. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it is a good matchup. I agree with you. I think this is going to be a fantastic matchup. The thing I really want to see, though, is how this TCU defense can go up against Love, because like Hunter said, I think this is just going to be the line that everyone's just going to be talking about, you know, for the next week. It's going to be Love versus TCU defense, Love versus Gary Patterson. And I, for one, hope that Patterson does pack a purple shirt this time.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't have to pull it out and use it, but I hope he at least has one.
Well, I feel good about that. I think we'll control. I mean, you know, you're not going to shut a guy down like that totally, but I think for the most part, I think we'll do a good job there. And I will say this: our linebackers got to tackle well, because you want to stop them quick. If you don't stop him by the linebacker level, and you don't want to put them secondary one on one with him much in open field.
Well, as much as I love Nico Small, I do not want to see a one-on-one match between Small and Love.
No, Nico Small is small, so I like how well he held up against Reggie Love.
Yeah, that's not a good matchup. If he gets to that level and it's Small, maybe with Orr, we'd have a better chance, but
yeah,
would not like to see Small one-on-one against Love. But, you know, this defense has just got a swarm. They've got a swarm, and the defensive ends have got to play contain a lot of times. We can't have Boson just out there just trying to, you know, bulldoze every single play. I mean, he's got to play smart. So it'll be interesting to see how the matchup works on that side of the ball.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, and it makes me feel kind of good too, is, you know, just like on passes, Coach Patterson's got a whole set of blitz packages of this and that for the run game, just as much as he does for the passing game, you know, to get advantage, you know, get advantages to our guys. And, you know, if you're not somebody that sits there and seen it all the time, you know,
we can't hear you.
I give up.
No, you're good. You're good. You just went like 8-bit arcade mode.
You need to feed those hamsters that are spinning your internet wheel.
I guess.
For those of y'all, because you can't really see us right now, but if you could only be on here before we even get started, first of all. Secondly, we can't even see Devin because he can't get his camera to come on. We're just looking at an outline. It's hilarious. Wish y'all could be right.
We should rebrand the podcast Technical Difficulties.
Yes.
That seems to be the case. So I don't know. All right. Well, I tell you what, unless anybody has anything else to add, we'll move on to predictions. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, since Hunter was the first one to speak up, let's start with Wes. Wes, prediction for the
ball game. I think it's going to be a great game. I don't think the Frogs are going to make us hold our breath through half the second half like last time. I'm going to say it's 31-24. TCU.
Touchdown victory. I like it. Ryan, how about you?
The only thing that kind of concerns me is that they had their conference at the end of the year. USC is ranked number 8. They lost to twice. But the last time they played them, they only lost by 3 points. So they seem to be playing better. Plus it was on a neutral field. Then of course, Washington's number 12, Notre Dame's number 14, Washington State's 21. So they played a lot of ranked teams. We played OSU and won, of course, and then a loss against OU, who's a much better team. But so I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be a high school game. I think it's going to be TCU 24, Stanford 20.
It's a good one. Hunter, how about you?
I'm going 28-24 Frogs.
Wow. Okay. Dubber.
I'm going 38-28. I think we're going to score.
Good. Two score victory. I like it.
Yep. 38-28.
Well, considering that most of the big games that they were in, they pretty much scored somewhere around in the 20s. I think they're averaging like 24 points per game in conference. I'm going to say that they'll probably get 24 points in this particular game. I agree with you guys. I don't think we can shut down Love. But I think I really like the matchup that the TCU offense has. So I'm with you, Dubber. I'm thinking this is going to be a multi-score win. So I'm going to say TCU 38, Stanford 24.
Nice. I'll take it.
Yep.
Yeah, I like this matchup. And I think it's fantastic. And I think the home crowd there in San Antonio is going to do exactly what they did when we played Oregon, and it's going to be a great home field advantage for the TCU Frogs, and it's going to be great. It's going to be a fun game to watch, and it's going to be a fun game to go and be a part of.
And please come down to the game and support your Frogs.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you're in Fort Worth, it's only a 4-hour drive, so
be after Christmas. Got Buc-ee's you can stop at. Two Buc-ee's on the way that you can stop at.
I swear, Wes, we're going to have to get Buc-ee's to sponsor this podcast. Between Buc-ee's and the various boot manufacturers here in Fort Worth, I tell you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work. All right. Well, speaking of Fort Worth sponsorships, we do have something we do want to mention, and that is if you're in the mood for Christmas music this holiday season, go ahead and turn your station to 92.1 Hank FM. For those of you in Fort Worth who are familiar with the radio stations around here, it's 92.1 Hank FM because Killer Frogs is sponsoring their Ryan?
It's called 36 Hours of Christmas, and we are sponsoring the 36 hours. And actually, they'll be running some different commercials December 17th through the 24th.
Oh. So,
tune in for that whole time, and you'll hear the voice of Killer Frogs, who is Sean. You'll hear him. He's going to be famous. He's got a great radio voice. He went down there to Hank FM today and recorded the commercial. It sounds good. It's really exciting.
Ryan has twist my arm.
Look at you, Sean. I tell you.
I've done those a couple of times, and it's a blast. And those guys are great. And I know a couple of them, so it was fun to go down there and talk with them and hang out and record a radio ad. So, yeah, so 92.1, if you're in the mood for Christmas music and just want to support their 36 hours of Christmas, it'll be good. It's not 12 days of Christmas, but it's 36 hours. So, yeah. And with that, wait a minute. Before we come to the end, Hunter, we had a couple of visits from recruits, didn't we?
We did. We had a very big weekend this past weekend.
I'm sorry, I completely skipped you over. No worries.
You know, we had some guys who were already committed who came into town this past weekend. Justin Rogers, Tavelius Hunt, Atanza Vonger. There were quite a few guys. I think John Stevens was in, Esteban Avila, and I think Darius Davis as well. And then, so those are all just committed recruits. But then we had four guys who were not committed to us who are some pretty big names. We had Jamar Chase, who you guys may have heard about earlier on this year. He's been he was a TCU, you know, he's been kind of a name TCU fans know this whole year. He committed to Florida, but now he's decommitted from Florida and had his visit with us last week. It's a four-star receiver from Louisiana, and his teammate came down as well, Aaron Brule, who's a 6'1", 205 safety outside linebacker, a three-star kid who is committed to Georgia and has started looking around again. So he came down this weekend as well. And then we had a running back from Florida, Deshaun Corbin. He's the number six all-purpose back in this year's class, four-star, and he is an ex-Florida State commit and has now opened up his recruitment, and we are in his top couple schools. And then the last big name kind of guy who was uncommitted that was here this weekend was Derek Turner, three-star safety, who is actually Darius Davis's brother. They're half brothers, I think. He plays safety. He's picking between us and Auburn after Tennessee took away. I think Tennessee dropped his scholarship after they switched coaches and all that mess. So he is now looking at us as well. So
Tennessee, the gift that keeps on giving.
They really are. Hunter, what do you think our chances are of getting some of these, one or two or more of these guys?
I think we get one for sure. I think there's a good chance we get we could potentially get all four of them, but two to three, I think it'll be more than one, probably less than four. So either two or three of them. But still, I think it'll be a really, really good, they're very good players. They've got great offer sheets. And, it seems like, you know, with all this coaching change, they kind of fell into our laps. So,
yeah, I'm wondering it because that Florida State, even though Florida State replaced, Jimbo Fisher with Dan Mullen, who's a good coach and done well at Mississippi State, it's still a coaching change. And, I wonder how some of that would play into the advantage for us.
Pretty much all those guys were coaching changes or, you know, just, you know, Georgia had a big class this year. So Brule, I think, started looking around again. So really guys who had offers from the big schools and just they one way or another, they didn't feel comfortable in their place, either at Florida or Florida State or, you know, kind of ever Tennessee. All three of those schools had coaches leave. So, you know,
that's true. But we, you know, Gary Patterson for years has dreamed about having a bigger cornerback. And Eddie Smith, I think out of Louisiana, if I'm not mistaken, 6 foot one, 180 pounds, kind of fulfills that big cornerback dream that Gary had. But he decommitted the other day.
Yep, he decommitted. So anybody? Really, I don't know that we've got anyone at this moment. But from my understanding, whenever he decommitted – I think he didn't even want – I'm not even sure that we won't get Eddie Smith at this point. But Eddie Smith, pretty much from my understanding, told the coaches that he did not want to sign on early signing day. He's had some bigger offers, some other, not bigger, other offers come in, big schools, Tennessee being one of them, Missouri being one of them, who have come on pretty strong as of late. And so I think our coaches have kind of set the precedent that if you're committed, your signing day is December 20th. Yeah. If you're not signing December, or if you're not signing the early signing period, you're not essentially committed. So I think that was more the deal there. I think that it was an amicable split. I think there's still a chance we get Eddie Smith. I just think they said, hey, if you're not going to sign here now, we need to know.
And how many signees do you anticipate on Wednesday?
Really? I think we'll have 17 to 18 of them.
Wow.
I think at least 17 or 18, and that's the low end. I think we'll end up having about 21 or 22. I think there will be a couple extra guys that come in before this signing day.
Any How many more players do you anticipate leaving the TCU system right now? I guess was it we had a wide receiver.
Isaiah Graham.
Isaiah Graham. Thank you.
And he won't be the last. I'm sure there will be some that transfer after the bowl game and, you know, kind of see how it goes from there. But this is a strong class, the strongest TCU's probably ever had. And, you know, it's looking to be pretty special.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, depending on who you look at, we're ranked anywhere from 15 to 17 as far as strength of class goes. And that's pretty stout. I don't think we've ever been up that high before.
No, and just the type of guys we're getting. What do you got, Sean?
I was just wanting to know how many spots do we have open at this point.
See, that's kind of hard to know.
That's a good question.
That's honestly that math. I don't know if anyone knows that math except for the coaches, because like incoming guys who come in January, those guys don't count towards the next season. They count towards this one, you're looking at last year's recruiting class. To look how many extra spots you're talking, kids who transfer, this and that, kids who leave the team. So really that number is anywhere between 19 and 26, 27.
Do we think now, I know that Justin Rogers coming in January.
Who else Justin might be Rogers,
coming in along with him?
I believe Justin Rogers, I think Tavalius Hunt as well. And then, some of these guys who are committed now who are not committed now, you know, Jamar Chase, I think, wants to graduate early. Derek Turner, I believe, is. Yeah. And then, you know, so some of those guys, but then also Bryson Jackson's coming in this season, this spring, but he's a baseball and football guy. So we'll be splitting him. So kind of it's all kind of up in the air at this moment.
And Jackson's a running back, but I know that Schlossner, isn't he? Is he a running back? Is that?
He's a wide receiver.
Okay. So I know he's coming in, but I think Schlossling is just tripping over himself with excitement about getting him in the program. So this will be fun to watch.
Definitely. Yeah, this is a talented group, and it's kind of cool just to you see some of these other schools that have had the big recruiting classes, the really high-ranked stuff. You're starting to see some of that with TCU as far as, like, Justin Rogers is doing a lot of recruiting over Twitter. He's making sure those guys, you know, he's definitely asking all these targets, hey, what do you think about TCU? Getting in their ear about it. So,
and his mom is jumping in there too.
She is also jumping in there.
That's awesome. What a great thing.
It's great.
I like her.
Yeah. So it's nice to have a nice little campaigners for you out of some of your current recruits and family.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly exciting. I love seeing the fact that TCU now has talked in the top 20 of recruiting classes in a consistent basis. That's huge.
Yep. Yeah. And you get a couple more of these guys, you're looking at about definitely a top 15 class, maybe crack the top 10. So,
wow.
That's just wow. Yeah. That's the only way you could say it. I mean, just wow. I mean, to think where we were 15, 20 years ago, and then where we are now with recruiting classes, that's amazing.
No comparison.
Not at all. Well, Hunter, do you have anything else for us on recruiting?
That's about it. I don't know if you guys talked about last week I was gone, but we had Fabian Franklin committed, another four-star running back who had been committed to Mississippi State and he committed to us last week as well. So yeah, we've got a running back on the board, and yeah, it looks like we're moving forward.
What's the book on him? Is he like Darius Anderson or
no? Kyle? He's like 5'11", about 210, 215. He's a big kid. He's a pretty big guy, and he had offers from he's a kid who had offers from, let's just go down his list: Tennessee, LSU, Michigan, Ole Miss, Georgia, Bama, Mississippi State, and us. And, you know, he'd been offered by most of those schools as a sophomore or junior in college. Wow. So he's been on the radar for a long time. And so
pretty much he was offered by the entire SEC and TCU.
Pretty much, yeah. Entire SEC and TCU. It's what it based in Michigan, you know, because Harbaugh's got it going on up there, it seems like. So, yeah, it's kind of cool just to see TCU in all these big recruiting battles with Harbaugh and Saban and, you know, all these guys. And then little old TCU is taking these guys right out of the SEC's backyard.
I love it. Any transfers on the radar?
I don't think so as of now. But, again, that's kind of one of those things. We'll know more after the bowl season, kind of get there. But, you know, JUCO, we could still possibly get Jordan Allen, so that's a transfer. But I don't think right now I don't have any on the horizon that are just coming to TCU as from another 4-year university.
Right.
Yeah. I'd like to see another offensive lineman transferred in for JUCO. That would be helpful.
How about Willie Allen? Is he going to come here after spending a year in JUCO?
You know, Willie Allen, I don't believe he's gotten an offer from TCU.
Really? After,
yeah, really. You know, we really wanted him out of high school, and then we wanted him when he was transferring from LSU and he got blocked from us. And then, you know, we kind of started having this really good recruiting class, and he's not been offered again.
Wow.
So I think, I think Willie Allen, I think that ship has sailed, honestly.
I was hoping against hope that maybe we get some of these Ole Miss kids that could transfer freely and play immediately. And we still might. I don't know what's going on out there. But, you know, there's a bunch of – I've heard of 3 or 4 players that already said, I'm out of here.
Yep.
And, yeah, there may be more. I don't know. But I guess, like you said, we'll hear more after the bowl season.
Definitely. It'll start heating up again right after bowl season. You know, a lot of these kids who transfer are going to try to stay with their team through the bowl game. But then as soon as that's over, that's when you start having those talks of what's next. So,
yeah. But I don't think Ole Miss is going to bowl this year.
So no, not Ole Miss. So. Yeah.
Not for a while.
Not for a while. Yeah.
No. Yeah. They have to pay that $179,000 fine first.
Oh, boy. What a punch to the gut that was. God.
That's such a terrible thing.
You know, look at that $179,000. And when TCU got their penalty, they had to repay $400,000. Now, you know.
That buys a lot of mama's pizza.
Oh, God. Yeah, mama's pizza. There you go.
All right. Well, thanks, Hunter, for that. And with that, I think we are a little over time, but I think we are now towards the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody who's listening to us out there on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. If you are listening to us on iTunes, just head on over there and give us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate that. You can find us on social media. We are on Twitter and Instagram at @killer_frogs. That's @killer_frogs. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/killerfrogs. And of course, when you get a hankering for Christmas music, go to 92.1 Hank FM and listen to 36 Hours of Christmas. You like that, Ryan?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. Yeah, she's giving me the... and again, thanks to everybody who's listening out to us. You can always reach us at killerfrogs.com. You can go online and join the largest online community of TCU fans, and that's killerfrogs.com. Join us. It's a free membership, and you can discuss all TCU athletics with all the rest of us knuckleheads. And with that, we've come to the point in the podcast where we all say...
Sean.
Go Frogs.
Yeah. Before we do the Go Frogs, we got to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Oh. Well, there we go. Well, from our family to yours,
there you go.
Please have a very Merry Christmas and
a killer Christmas.
Yep.
Christmas, there you go.
Merry Christmas.
You can say Go Frogs.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Go Frogs.
Well, that'll work. Merry Christmas and
Go Frogs.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks, Wes.
Couldn't let you go close out without saying Merry Christmas.
I love the moment the bourbon and finally kicked in.